Our pericope of Scripture, it comes from 2 Timothy, the second epistle of the Apostle Paul to Timothy. Young Timothy was the pastor at Ephesus. Chapter 3. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture, this is our text now, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good work. May God bless the reading and the preaching of His Word again tonight. What a gift God has given to His church by giving us His Word. His Word whereby He reveals Himself to us so that we may know Him and love Him and serve Him. His Word that reveals to us our sorry state and our need for Him. His Word that shows us the life that ought to flow from gratitude for so great a salvation. What a gift the Word of God is to us. Boys and girls, young people, Bibles given to you at graduations and young couples, Bibles given to you when you are joined in marriage. So the psalmist says that the word of God may be the light upon your path, a lamp to your feet. In 1 and 2 Timothy, the apostle Paul is encouraging a young pastor. His name is Timothy. The saints there in that church are living in a very spiritual danger. They live in a very wicked culture that stands completely contrary to the word of God. Just like you and I also live in that same kind of wicked culture, where those are lovers of themselves, boasters, proud, blasphemers, without natural affection. Look at the gay pride kind of parades that are going on in all the different cities and the stores jumping in along with it. What a wicked culture we have. A culture that is contrary to the Word of God. And so the emphasis to this young pastor now is not to get so discouraged and surely not to flow with the current around him, but to continue in the things, Paul says, which you have learned, verse 14. And not only can himself continue in it, but then also believing in that word of God, loving that word of God, using that word of God for the congregation of which he is a pastor. And that's a proper order. For unless the word of God first of all speaks to the pastor's own heart, and yes, steps on his toes many times, how can the pastor then bring that word of God to his sheep? What a precious word of God that we have. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And here's the purpose, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So tonight, my theme is the wonder of Holy Scripture, given by God, spiritually profitable, and its powerful purpose. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That word inspiration, boys and girls, in catechism you learned, means God breathed. It flows from God himself through the human instruments that he uses. And of course, the Apostle Paul, when he is saying all scripture here to Timothy, he's speaking about the Old Testament canon because the New Testament canon was not yet finished. Perhaps at this time already one or two or three of the Gospels were already written. And yes, the letters of the Apostle Paul going out to the churches were there. All scripture. And for us today, that means the Old and the New Testament scriptures, all of them. And Paul and Timothy were called to teach as pastors that Jesus Christ was the fulfillment of all those Old Testament scriptures. And of the gospels that were being written and the letters that were going out to the churches, Christ Jesus is set forward in all of his beauty and glory and power and salvation. All scriptures. So what we are reading here is all of the scripture is infallible because it is God-breathed. It will not fail. What an amazing word. It is the word of God Himself. Written between the years 1500 BC to 100 AD. Think a moment, that long period of time. Written in three different languages. Written by some 40 plus men. 66 different books, but all one theme, all the Word of God and His covenant with His people. That's what makes the Scriptures so wonderful. The covenant life of God Himself is explained and set forth, and then that covenant love of God for us, His people, young and old. What a powerful word of God, given by inspiration, God breathed. What does that mean? That when you and I take up your graduation Bibles or your marriage Bibles, we don't just have the thoughts of some men or women or the culture that we live in, because the thoughts of people keep on changing. Listen to all the different things that the health directors say. You can't eat or you can't drink this because this is bad for your health. Then a few years later, no, it's something else that's bad for your health. A culture that keeps on changing, where in one time sodomy was detested and even those who were sodomites were put to death. And now we live in a culture in which it is held forth as an ideal and a good and a beautiful thing. We have the Word of God. He speaks it to us. And in 2 Peter chapter 3, we have a very good definition of what inspiration means. We read there, in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21, knowing this, first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Moved by the Holy Spirit, they could do no otherwise than to speak God's word, even evil men. Think of Balaam. For some money, he thought he could curse God's people. But every time he opened up his big mouth, another blessing came forth. Men moved by the Holy Spirit. Oh, the wonder of our salvation as we find it in 2 Peter chapter 1. Or 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. That prophecy of the Scriptures that the Lord Jesus was able to open up the Old Testament Scripture, you will remember, to the travelers to Emmaus. And when He opened up those Scriptures about that salvation that would come by Himself, they said, did not our hearts burn within us when their minds were instructed of God's salvation. These Old Testament saints many times did not even understand exactly what they were talking about. They surely didn't understand the times when it would come. But God spake through them. We call that organic inspiration. And what does that mean? God determined which men would be those writers of His Word. God chose them and then He shaped them. That is, He prepared them through their experiences, through their education, through their personality, that they would bring God's Word, not partly their Word and partly God's Word, but they would bring God's Word. I will sometimes ask young people in catechism or before the elders, what do you think of this statement? Not trying to trap them, of course. The Bible contains the Word of God. Do you like that definition? The Bible contains the Word of God. Please say, no. No, there's something wrong with that. If the Bible merely contains the Word of God, well, then we need experts. We need these theological teachers to tell us, well, what part is the Word of God and what is just fluff or what is just cultural things that were done at that time or what is just packaging? That's what they call it. Genesis 1 through 11, they call it packaging. Using old stories and myths that are around them, the authors of the Bible use this packaging to bring a kernel of God's truth that God exists and that all things are here because of God. No, the Bible does not merely contain the Word of God. We need to say the Bible is the Word of God. Every word, the conjunctions, the connections between passages, all by God's design to bring the knowledge of Himself, the knowledge of us, the knowledge of our lives to us, the whole history of His salvation. So that God, yes, He used sinful men, just like He uses sinful men in the pulpits today. But He qualified them. He breathed within them so that with their own experiences, their own background, they were able to bring the Word, the very Word of God Himself. And what is the importance for that? It's important for us to believe that because the Word of God is under attack. Even as it was there in Ephesus, Timothy is running into these people that are lovers of themselves, covetous, boastful, and they're bringing havoc into the church. And Timothy needs to know that the Word of God doesn't change. The Word of God stands. And blessed is the man and blessed is the congregation that stands upon that Word of God. Satan comes today just as he did in that day, as he did to Adam and Eve. Did God really say this? Is it really true? Is the world made in 6 days, or is that just packaging, and instead we should listen to the scientists that say it is evolution? By chance, things came into being and evolve and become better and better and better. Well, look around the world that you and I live in. Are things getting better? or are things deteriorating? The Word of God says that the babies that God places wonderfully made in the womb of a mother are precious. What a heritage. And we live in a world that says, no, the whims of a woman are more important than the life of a baby. And so we can abort the children. When God's Word comes and says that marriage consists of a man and a woman that God formed out of the rib of Adam, the world that we live in, sad to say, including churches, are debating right now the place of men married to men and women married to women. Or when the Word of God teaches us that God gives each person, He has created them male and female, and we live in a world that says, no, we can choose our own gender if we want. Satan is trying to bring cracks into the church, the foundation of the church, and that foundation is the word of the prophets and the apostles. He's trying to bring cracks into the word of God. What is this book? What does God have to say with His unchanging word? There are five threats today to the Scriptures. There is, first of all, from the Renaissance on, what's called higher criticism. And higher criticism means simply that men, scholars, place themselves over the Word of God, and they're going to critique it, and they're going to say what that Word of God should be saying, what we should believe. Higher criticism. So instead of believing the life of Jesus, say, we're going to try to historically really point out who Jesus is. And they only come with a man. So first of all, there's higher criticism. Second of all, at least in our parent church, back in 1972, they came with a report called The Nature of Biblical Authority, the nature and the extent of biblical authority. And that report was such a flawed report because what it really says is that the Bible is culturally conditioned. And so we take the Word of God and we say, well, yeah, but that's what it says in that particular culture, but we have a different culture we have advanced in, so it's different for us. Thirdly, there is the threat of new revelations. In my old denomination, those who were honest would say, no, the Bible does not allow for women in office. But they said, God is revealing something new in our day. With women having a good education, women now can be in those offices of minister, elder, and deacon. New revelations coming. Or from that same denomination, they don't want the monologue of a pastor speaking for 45, 50 minutes. And they say, let's have members in the church reveal what the Lord is saying to them. New revelations. What is the Lord saying to you? What is the Lord saying to you? Completely different things at times. And that's why that church also says, yes, there's several different valid interpretations on all these different issues that are troubling the church. And each of those interpretations are okay or are right. There's fourthly a threat. Instead of learning from what the Holy Spirit, how He has guided the church in the study of the Scriptures and the proclamation of the Scriptures, they say, I want to find the truth for myself. A young man in the Philippines, he said, I don't want to learn any doctrine of the church. I just want to read the Bible for myself, and I will then determine what I think the Bible is saying. In our Bible studies, we don't ask, what do you think the Bible is saying, or what do you feel the Holy Spirit saying in this verse? We ask, what has God said? What is the apostle pointing out in this scripture passage? Fifth threat, the inclusion of the world today. There's many different avenues to God, and so we as a Christian church should learn from the other religions, good things in their religion, and we can share together and we can be benefited. God has spoken, and the canon is closed, and nothing may be taken away from it, and nothing may be added to it. God has spoken. And now God speaks to us. That, beloved, is the Bible given by God and therefore spiritually profitable. We read in John 17, verse 17, "Thy word is true." Who we are in ourselves, what God has done in the Lord Jesus Christ, and now the calling, the life that flows out of it. And we say that the scriptures are profitable. That's what it says, right? All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable. That word profitable means that word of God shapes and molds our thinking. Our attitude, our thoughts, our desires, our will, our actions. If it's not the Word of God, then there is no hope for us. But since it is the Word of God who is unchanging in Himself, He is unchanging in His covenant, and He is unchanging in His Word, it is relevant, it is profitable. So, what is it that molds or shapes what we think of God? What is it that molds and shapes what we think about heaven or what we think about hell? What is it that shapes or molds our thinking about the origins of this creation that we live in? What shapes and molds the life that you and I are living today, tomorrow, and as long as the Lord gives us life here on earth? And the answer, the Word of God. We look for understanding our origins to God's Word and not to science. That is the lie that is being taught today. That because God in His common grace gives scientists knowledge and God in His special grace gives the church the Bible, we need to take all of that. That means what common grace supposedly also teaches. First of all, the boys and girls here all know the Bible doesn't teach any kind of common grace. There's one grace of God, a grace that saves, a grace that is given only to God's saints. So am I going to listen to a scientist how the world originated? Were they there? Or will I listen to God who was there and created all things? And when I'm going through pain, am I going to go to a psychologist who will say, well, what you're feeling in your life, your insecurities, your troubles, it's really your parents' fault. It's all your parents' fault. Or it's your upbringing. It's the church that you were raised in. Or will I go with my doubts, my fears, my afflictions, my sickness, will I go to God's Word? Which says, no, my sickness and my pain and the troubles I have don't come from Satan. I'm not in Satan's hand, but it comes from the Lord God, and I'm in His loving hands, and He's shaping, He's molding me, and He's holding and preserving me through those things, and He will work all things together for good, even those unpleasant things in our life. And where am I going to go to find out what is my greatest need in life? To the fleeting pleasures here of the world? Is it the car that's going to make me happy? Is it the house that I might live in? Is it? And the answer is no. I'm going to go to God's Word. And I'm going to find there in God's Word what a sinner I am, and I need God's salvation. I need the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior and my Lord. That's how I am saved. There in the Word tells us who He saves, how He saves powerfully and effectually. So let's look a moment at the specifics of this shaping and this molding of God's Word. Because it is, isn't it, so easy to take God's Word for granted? To take that revelation of God for granted? How He reveals Himself not only in nature around us, but specifically in His Word and in His Christ. I need that Word of God. I need, as the psalmist says, to hide it in my heart that I might not sin against Thee. Hey, I need that Word of God to be that light upon my path, a lamp to my feet in this sinful world. I'm not going to base my life upon my feelings because my feelings are so fickle and they change. Sometimes I feel very near to the Lord. Sometimes I feel that the Lord is very far from me. I say, why, Lord, did You forsake me? One of the songs that we sang tonight dealt with that. Rather than feelings, I feel God wants me to do this. I feel that this is okay. I open up God's Word and I study it. And for your devotions, it doesn't have to be a long passage. Rather than just racing through a long passage, far better to take one or two verses and then meditate on it. Say, why is that verse standing here? What is the connection to the verses around it? And now what does that verse say to me personally? How does it give direction to my life? How does it give comfort to my heart? How does it give reproof to me and my sin? So God's Word says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Hopefully that word doctrine doesn't give a bad taste in your mouth. There are people in the church who are crying out and they say, I don't want doctrine. Doctrine divides the church. Just give us practical helps from God's Word. No, it is truths that are that rock that we stand on, and it is those truths that give us direction in our life. So read God's Word to be instructed. Not by the lies of Satan, not by the lies of the world around us, not by the lies of those who are disobedient, who are proud, who are blasphemers, traitors, and the whole list goes on. But the truth of God's Word. And that Word of God, now specifically, second of all, is profitable for reproof and correction. None of us likes to be reproved, do we? None of us like to be corrected, boys and girls. Uh-oh, what's Dad, Mom going to find wrong with now? But we need that. Just as young children need correction and reproof, God's children, God's family needs their God to say, stop it. That is sin. You're going the wrong direction. Turn around. You and I need the elders. And you and I need our fellow saints to be willing to come to us and say, what you're doing is wrong. Stop it. Repent of your sin. We need the elders to give us that kind of correction at times, and that means that we should be willing to listen to those elders, because Christ put them in that office to represent Him, and they are to bring His word. And when the elders reprove us in our life, we may not get angry, we may not shut the door on them, refuse to listen to them, or to leave the church. Repent. Be turned around. We need that correction, because by nature we are so blind to our sin. It's so easy to see the sin of others, and we'd like to take the splinter out of their eyes and ignore the beam in our own eyes. We need reproof and correction from the Scriptures. And we need, it is profitable for instruction in righteousness. What is that righteousness? Not our own righteousness, but we need instruction in how the righteousness of God is given to us freely, imputed to us through our Lord Jesus Christ by His death on the cross. His obedient life, perfectly obedient to His Father in heaven, even while the Father had to abandon Him on the cross as He stood in our place, yet God loved His Son. He says, "Behold my Son in whom I'm well pleased." And it was that obedience of our Lord Jesus in His whole life as our representative given to us. The Word of God instructs us about that, so that we're not saved by our works. We're not saved because of what we are. We're saved only by Jesus Christ through faith. All of God's grace, His righteousness given to me. I need that, don't you? I need that. I know my sins. And I need to read God's Word so that I may know that though I am black as an Ethiopian spiritually, through the blood of Jesus Christ, I am made whiter than snow. What joy that brings. How we need that Word of God then from Sunday to Sunday, morning and evening, to prepare us for the next week that we're going to go into. How we need that Word of God in the sermons so that the week that we come out of all of our failures, though our sins are many, they're blotted out. And how we need that Word of God, each of us individually and as families, as we begin the day. Be in God's Word and then be conscious that you're standing before God and you're living for Him. In your dating life, young people, have devotions. As a pastor, I felt chagrined that I had to be told by a young Baptist boy of how on his dates they would always start by reading Scripture, having prayer. And I thought, why didn't I think of that as a young person? How that would guard you for the rest of that evening on that date, so that you act properly to that young girl that you're dating, or with that young boy that you girls are looking at. How we need God's Word, young and old, to guide us closer and closer in our communion with our God. How we need that shaping because of that threefold enemy that is out there. You know that threefold enemy. Satan coming to us just like he did to Adam and Eve. Did God really say that? Nah, that's not so. Doing these kind of funny things on our dates, well, yeah, maybe the parents couldn't do it, but everyone else is doing it today. That's the devil. And that is the world that we live in, and it is not a friend. Watch out. Watch out for the thinking of the world, and don't say, well, everyone else is doing it. But more, I need the scriptures. I need the word of God because Odd Sprintsma has a sinful nature that is so easily tempted, will so willingly listen to the world's ideas and our sinful ideas of pleasure. We need the word of God. By that word of God, then, our thoughts sharpened. And through those thoughts of our mind, our hearts burning with love for our God. Biblical truth is important. But those biblical truths in God's word are also by the Holy Spirit applied. As I said at the wedding on Friday, the book of Ephesians, 3 chapters, doctrine. And then the apostle Paul to the Ephesians is led by the Holy Spirit to have 3 chapters of application. This is what it means. We need that word of God every day. And how wonderful if we can take the preaching of the word on Sunday and meditate it on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday so that Satan doesn't come like that bird and pluck up the word of God like a seed that falls on the hard path. May we meditate on God's word. And what is the purpose of this word of God, this wonderful scriptures? Verse 17. That the man of God, yes, Timothy himself, and Timothy as he comes to each member of his congregation in Ephesus. So that the man of God, and it's a generic term for every son and daughter, man and woman, boy and girl here, so that the children of God may be perfect. I gotta explain that word a moment. That word perfect does not mean be without sin, without any fault. But just as in the baptism form, where that word perfect once comes in there, that we believe that the truths of that are taught in this church are the true and perfect. And then if you look at the bottom of that baptism form, it says complete. That's the idea. That the man of God, that the child of God may be complete. That means he is given instruction for his life and then is able to apply it to his steps that he takes in his life to be what God wants him or her to be, to serve and to love God with our whole life and with our studies and with our work in the home and in the office and the field and whatever our calling is. We are made complete not by the teaching of evolution. You are made complete not by trying to change your gender. We are made complete not by trying to reinvent marriage so that there is sodomy. We are made complete by the profitable word of God. Living then not by our feelings. Living not by what the world dictates. And not influenced by heretics that are within the church and would like to lead astray. We are changed by the word of God, a radical change. Living by the word of God, doing what the word of God says, growing under that word of God, feasting on that Word of God. As we partake of that Word, we grow spiritually. We grow closer to our God. And this text ends, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I hope no one here says that we don't do any good works. God's Word says that God's Word is profitable, furnishing us, thoroughly furnishing us, equipping us, that we may live our lives, and that God through us may enable us to do things that are pleasing to Him. Believing on Him, loving our fellow saints, living godly lives in this world. Furnished. Just as swimmers need to, maybe those who are diving into the sea, they need flippers on their feet. Just as those who are going to climb mountains will need spikes on their shoes. You and I who are called to fight the good fight, we need the sword of the Spirit, don't we? You and I who are to run the race that is set before us in this wicked world, I need the lamp of God's Word to guide my feet. I need the Word of God daily so that I may keep the faith, not be turned aside by all these other things, these people that creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. No, you and I are given the Word of God. So you graduates who just received this Bible, may your Bible after a year look kind of like this one. It's getting rather torn. The whole last couple chapters are falling out of this Bible. May that Bible be used. You have just been married. Open up that Bible together. Read it together. Study it together. Discuss it together. Let it be the lamp for your marriage, each one of us. It's summer vacation. Yes, school is out. But there is no vacation when it comes to worshiping our God, and there is no vacation when it comes to reading and studying and following and living by the Word of God. What a wonderful scriptures God has given us. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank Thee that we have Thy Word in our possession. And we thank Thee that Thy Word is infallible. It would never mislead us. And we thank Thee that because it is Thy Word, it is an unchanging Word, regardless what culture we live in, what time we live in, may we be guided by Thy Spirit, by Thy Word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.